It's been our text. We'll be looking at the subject of prayer. And the idea is that we come together to look at God's word and stir up ourselves concerning prayer. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 17. Bible says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch it then unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verse 17 again. It says, "And take," notice that phrase, because the previous verses is speaking about you and I being strengthened with all might, or being strengthened according to God's glorious power. If you read from verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So verse 17 is just one of the thoughts that is communicating how does a man become strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Verse 17 says, "And take the element of salvation." Element has to do with your head. So he's talking about thinking, that a believer's thinking must constantly be thoughts of salvation. In other words, the reality of who you are now in Christ is the way you ought to think. That's the element. Element for protecting the head, which is your thought life. He says your thinking should be that of salvation. In other words, whatever you're going to do, however you think, whatever you're going to ask, which should proceed from the way you think, should proceed from your revelation of what? Salvation. That's what it means by that. And says, take the element of salvation. He's talking about the way you're thinking. Okay, so he says, "And take the element of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying." Praying. We take the sword of the Spirit or the word of God, praying. So it's when you're praying, that what you're using to pray, which is word of God, is trying to that the sword of the human spirit, of the recreated human spirit. It's not talking about the sword of God's spirit. It's talking about the sword of the recreated human spirit. Is what the believer uses in the place of prayer. So it says, "And take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, praying always." Say always. Say always. So notice that every single phrase in here is used deliberately. Praying always. Because you're thinking in line with who you are, with the reality of the redemption as yours in Christ. And that says, praying always with all prayer. Did you see that? Some translation says, all manner of prayer. So that means when a believer starts praying the Spirit, he's not really talking about a prayer point here. And so we need to, so to speak, read our minds from the thought that every time we want to pray, there must be a prayer point. No. He's addressing the church generally. And he says, praying with all prayer, all manner of prayer. That means he's saying that the responsibility of a local assembly, the assignment of the believer, is to always pray. So he uses the word always, praying always. He's not saying that you come together to church because the pastor announced there's a crisis. That's living based on circumstance. That's not living based on God's word. He's teaching us the rudiments of prayer and why it's important. He's saying that your thinking plays a role when it comes to praying. So he mentions the helmet of salvation. In other words, a believer can't afford to pray like one who is not saved. That's what he's saying. You are saved. Now take the helmet or embrace the thinking of your redemption when you're praying. Don't leave out the reality of your redemption outside of your prayers. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Never, ever. You know, and that's the danger sometimes in embracing every prayer booklet you find in town. Your situation can't be that bad. Hallelujah. That's the problem of embracing every prayer booklet. 21 prayer points to victory. The steps to victory is not that much. Even if it's 1, 2, 3, it is Jesus 1, Jesus 2, Jesus 3. That's all the steps you need. You don't need 21 steps. Don't bring complication to something that God has simplified for you in Christ Jesus. In other words, you're allowing the circumstance or situation to dictate. Believers don't pray because it's a situation. Prayer is our situation. Hallelujah. Prayer is our situation. And that's important. It says, take the element of salvation. In other words, you're not ready for the prayer work or the prayer life until your armor is complete. And notice the tail end of all the armor listed. There's a consciousness of redemption. That's the element of salvation. He's talking about what you do to your mind. Because your mind, your thinking affects your asking and your praying. So he says, take It means it doesn't come naturally. Tick. It's not going to come naturally. That thinking doesn't come by itself. That thinking is something you take. You take the element of salvation or the reality of your redemption. He now says, and the sword of the Spirit, or you put the word of God in your mouth. How do you need praying always? Hallelujah. So the thinking and the word go hand in hand. It took the helmet, which is the thinking. You take the word, which is the sword of the Spirit. And that says, praying always. So if you're going to pray always, it obviously can't be because you have a prayer point. Think about it. It's just teaching about the fact that a believer is never without a reason to pray. But that reason is not the prayer point. That is not a situation. The reason why a believer prays is because he is meant to be an avenue for God to operate on the earth. That's what a believer is. A believer, a praying believer, is an avenue for God to operate on the earth. So is God going to intervene in situations of men? Yes. How does he do it? Through a praying believer. In other words, through you and I, as we step into the prayer closet, the responsibility of prayer, we are releasing a constant stream of God's ability which affects the Father's will at all times. So we must look beyond praying about needs. We do pray about needs. But when we come together, mostly, our focus is not usually about needs. The Bible says all things are yours. But there are things we get done that no other kind of gathering can get done. There's no gathering where they can fully influence the will of men except through corrupt practices. But in the gathering of believers, we can influence the outcome of things. So we must take our place. We must realize our responsibility. We must understand that to be called to pray out God's will is a great honor. Hallelujah. It is a tremendous honor. That God should flow out through you to bless others is a great honor. It more than proves the fact that you are a son. That means you are managing your father's business. Hallelujah. You know, even in a natural enterprise, in a natural endeavor, you may have a wealthy man who has three sons. Not every son of a wealthy man takes up the responsibility of management. But when they are of age, and unfortunately when they are of age, it's not always necessarily a physical age. Okay? So they are wise men at 28. They are fools at 40. So it can't be physical age. It's spiritual age. That determines when his son takes up responsibility. He's always his son, whether he takes responsibility or not. But whether much can be entrusted to his hand is a version of whether he will now arise, realize who he is, and take up responsibility. So in managing his father's affairs, the father knows who to commit much more to because of the fact that that one has chosen to take on what? Responsibility. So in the place of prayer, there was a spring always with all prayer. Let me quote the rest. Supplication in the spirit and watching whereunto with all perseverance. I want supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. So this is the watching thereunto. So in prayer we see, or in prayer we are spiritually alert. In prayer we are spiritual, we become spiritually alert. Now you are in the spirit according to Romans 8:9, because you were born in the spirit. If any man has not the spirit of Christ, is none of his. So you are in the spirit. You were born in the spirit. But to function in the spirit, it takes deliberate activity on your part. It's like you having senses that you don't exercise. So when a man is deliberately praying in tongues, is praying in the spirit, or is exercising himself in the realm where he lives, that you live somewhere doesn't mean you exercise yourself where you live. Let me give you an illustration, or natural illustration to help you. You know you can live in an area for 5 years and not know the names of most of the streets. How many of you know I'm talking about? If you're like me, you don't stroll. You actually stroll. So when people are asking you that, give me name of three streets. The streets you are mentioning are far from where you really live, because you really have not been paying. Even though the signs, you know, you don't even pay attention to. Now, some people, there is no street in your area they don't know, that they don't stay in your area. That's the interesting part. You stay in that area, you're like, stop at Alamu Junction. Alamu Junction. Say, I mean station. Oh, station bus. Okay, I know station. You don't even know they call it Alamu Junction. In other words, you can be somewhere and not exercise yourself in that area, which is, you're not even familiar with the residence. So you see somebody who says, they say, you live my estate, you. How long? Five years? What about you, 7 years, who have never met? Like people in UK. But interesting, one is that you exercise yourself where you are. So this is praying always without prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching. Watching means you are now alert. You are in the realm where you were born into, but you are now alert in prayer. Because as you pray in the spirit, you are now alert, which is your spiritual senses are fully awake. You're picking up things. Listen carefully. Not things that your prayer brought, but things that were always there that you're not bringing to make you aware of. So we said last week that many times a believer should always have what you call a prayer disposition. Not necessarily because you have, is a prayer point good? Yes. As a church, we can say that we're praying towards, you know, we're going to pray towards Sunday meeting. I know it's interesting because I still remember the prayer meetings we used to have when I was on campus about 22 years ago, sincerely speaking, we used to think that God will just move whenever he wants to move. So we are appealing to him that what you did last week, do it again. We really thought it was up to him. We didn't think it was up to us. We didn't realize that he's always willing for men to be blessed. So when we went out and like listening and we saw about 10 called guys saved, God moved today. He moved today. Meanwhile, before that time, we did a vigil. So God still helped us fight most of our ignorance as we went out. But we're now thinking, 10, wow, 10. 15, that's a good number. Because we're just about 7 of us. We started with 4, then 7 of us. So, I know, if your target, main target is called guys, if you have 10, it's a landslide. We may reach out to other people, but our major focus was mostly called guys. I know, we were spiritually harmed and physically harmed. Spiritually, we're harmed with prayer. Physically, we're all martial artists. So you want to fight, we'll first beat them. After beating them, will you receive Christ? But the beating will continue. But we never had to do that. It was just for defense. But the issue was that we will pray and we'll see some things. We will now say, you know, God just moved in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He just moved that either way. No. The activity of the spirit in the body, we are the Father's family. Say, we're the Father's family. The activity of the Spirit rests largely on the prayer of the saints. It means that deposited within us, according to Ephesians 1:18, is exceeding greatness of God's power, which we now pray out to effect certain things. So what we saw on Sunday, for instance, wasn't necessarily how anointed any minister was. Was because the saints prayed. The church wanted to see some things. It's about the church. It's never about individuals. It's about the church. What do we want to see? What do we want to experience? Anyway, 7 instant healings. People came to meet me where I sat after service and told me, amen. Now, what do we want to see? Is there any situation that's called impossible? No. No. The only impossibility a man has is what is yet to be revealed to him. It means the more revelation that you have of what God has done for you and in you and is doing through you in Christ, the less you see anything called impossibility. That scripture, I think Mark chapter 9 verse 23, that says that all things are possible to him that believe it, begins to make more sense. Because when you read the night of the New Testament, it's simply telling you all things are possible to the believer. It's not him that believes now, it is to the believer. And you are a believer, you have already believed. So now all things are possible to you. Say, all things are possible to me. I am now in the realm of possibilities. I have left the realm of impossibility. So the one Jesus was addressing was the realm of impossibility. It was God, Jesus trying to get him to believe. You are on the other side. Your side is that of possibilities. And all things are possible to the believer. You are a believing one. You are inside of God's possibilities. So when we pray with the answer in mind. What's the answer? We already know God's will. He will have all men to be saved. We already know God has blessed and always wants to bless men. So when we're praying now, listen, there's a boldness about how we're praying. Number one, we know our prayer effects changes. We know our prayer ministers a supply of the Spirit. We know our prayer affects the will and the consciousness of men in those kind of meetings. We know. So that people who are struggling with consecration, who are struggling with addiction, we know our prayer affects their will. We know there are people who are struggling with surrendering fully to the will of God. We know our prayer affects them. Hallelujah. In Colossians 4:12, Paul, speaking about Epaphras, wonderful example of a minister who doesn't require any title. Obviously, he was an apostle in that sense. He speaks about Epaphras, who is one of you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What was his focus? That you will stand perfect and complete in all, not some. Why do we sometimes know what to do and we don't do it? Prayer. Let me say that again. What, that you know what to do doesn't guarantee you will do it though. The staying power, the willingness comes by praying. That's why many times you do something like, and I know better than this, so how come I like this way? It's prayer. Some things can only be battered by prayer. The willingness to do it, to carry it out, can only be exercised after you've prayed. In other words, you'll find out that the spirit being willing will overtake every other sense of reluctance as you pray. In other words, when a man is praying, he's bringing about the spirit's dominion over every other choice or option. That's what it means when we pray. He says it's laboring fervently that you stand perfect and complete. So sometimes we see believers who are acting below their knowledge. We see men who are not, like, why can't you just live right or walk straight or do what you want to do? He says, I'm laboring fervently for you in prayers that you stand perfect and complete in what? In all of the will of God. In other words, what you have believed, what you have received, that your conduct and actions should line up. That you stand in your place, you should occupy your office. You should walk in the fullness of the measure that God has given you in Christ Jesus. He says it's a function of prayer. So when Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always without prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. He's repeating that prayer in Colossians 4:12. Because he says you are praying for all saints. For all saints. So if I'm praying a supply of the spirit, I'm not just praying that there will be manifestations of God's power like we saw on Sunday and beyond, but that you will play your role. You will minister your own supply of the spirit in the service. Glory to God. You, I watch meetings where the minister could not speak, arrested by the power of God. And while he was arrested, people were so yielded, the power of God broke out in the congregation and things were happening. In fact, the minister for 2 hours did not need to speak or preach because he couldn't even speak. The only thing he could speak was tongues, and it was power of God. Can somebody be strong dumb in a meeting and not be able to speak? Yes, under the power of God. Yes. Someone does that happen sometimes. Signs and wonders. But it's never without a reason. In other words, when people are sometimes arrested and couldn't speak, you see the power of God break out freely, fully in your realm. Now we are coming of age, hallelujah, in the flow of the spirit. And we ought to consciously look forward to and expect these things. As Philip was transported from one city to another, it should be normal, commonplace with us. In other words, we're so in tune with our Father's will and purposes, such things should not be extraordinary news. You should be like, oh, okay, it has happened. Wow. How many people were saved? Where you went to, in that sense. I mean, I heard the story of a man. He was looking for how to get to a particular country. He won't need that visa and everything like that. And while he was praying, he just entered the room and he saw himself in that country. Explain. No plane ticket, no train, no vehicle. He was just there by the spirit. He was just there. Now, again, those are not supposed to be one-off incidences. Usually what happens is that when you're praying, that person in the spirit was able to connect with something, which when I say connect, I mean that there was a reality that dawned and then something just triggered, and that was it. So there are these things that are waiting on the believers praying out. Listen carefully. We're praying out from a reality. The Bible says the exceeding greatness of his power towards what? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So when the believer is praying, the element of salvation is to realize there is already power. We're not trying to get God to give power. We're praying the power that we have, and it is so much, listen carefully, enough to sustain our prayer lives throughout eternity. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you make a withdrawal from an account and you keep making, you don't put back, what happens to the account? It gets depleted. Not so when it comes to power of God. You can't overdraw the account. That's where the issue really is. You cannot overdraw the account. The account, the one exceeding great means over and above, or to stretch beyond the mark. Upper below. It means that what was put there, you can't finish spending in this lifetime. But he still put it there, even though he knows. Why did he do that? The power he took to raise Jesus up is the power he took to make you a son. Think about that. That's why we don't pray power should change hands. It must not. You are in trouble if power changes hands. What do we pray? That revelation should come to you. So that where there was fear, there will come revelation. Those things will shift. Then the fear will not go back to the one who sent it, so that he can now operate in his own fear and walk away. Because light has come to you, because you now know who you are. Hallelujah. So we're drawing from an account. In an account, we can't overdraw. What helps us to draw from the account? Revelation. So a sound son, child of God, or minister keeps praying that my eyes will see. What do you want to see? I will know what else to draw. As I draw, the account I'm drawing from is never depleted. Let me give you an instruction. If I pray that all of you should go into a trance, it doesn't remotely deplete the power of God. If we pray that everybody else should be in the glory cloud, it doesn't remotely deplete the power of God. Do you understand? He has done it over and over, and then you have not even put a dent. You have not even received a fraction of what's in the account. So what got our asking? I remember Dr. Spurgeon was praying one day, and he said that when he was praying about the crusade he was going to, he said the spirit, and that's sometimes that happens when you're a man of prayer, the spirit whispered to him. He said, ask anything. And when he had asked anything in a crusade, he said his sense spirit was asking, because you come go and preach, and I say anyone who wants to receive Christ should come out. You do a tackle. So some will come, we need Christ. Others will not come, who also need Christ. I mean, even I'm talking about now. In answer, his spirit said, ask. He seemed to know his spirit was saying, ask for every lost person here now. He said he was afraid that, Lord, do I dare to ask? Now, what he calls afraid is where his revelation reached. That the spirit was not trying to move him. Listen carefully. It is you God is trying to persuade about his goodness. Hallelujah. I am praying seriously that I will understand God's goodness more, because the thing is mind-blowing. I don't know about it, but I am praying seriously. I have a limitation. Is that I don't understand, like I really ought to know how good the Father is. And when you don't know how good, that is the limit to which you will pray and ask. It's just a law. You can't function beyond that. That's the issue. So really the challenge is not, oh God, show power. It's more like, oh son, know me. Oh son, know me. Now, this was an apostle. His international ministry began at about 54 years of age. After working with God from his 20s, the international phase, which is, he began to go to continents. There was no continent in it. He never started a single church, but there was no continent he ministered in that scriptural works and churches did not start there. We go, what? I mean, somebody who raised 23 people from the dead. I think that's 23 more than you and me. You don't think so? Now, this was a man who was not at a crusade. And the spirit just whispered, son, ask anything. And the spirit wasn't asking, he wasn't talking about car. You had a crusade. That can you just ask him, ask car, ask shirt, ask the house. No, he said, ask anything now. He said, Lord, you are here to ask. He said, ask. He whispered again, ask. Lord, are you? He said, ask. In other words, as though the is asking was the only limit to what God was going to do. He finally summoned courage. You know, it takes when Paul said, pray for me at utterance. Not the apostle, that utterance. Somebody has already told you in 2 Corinthians 12 that I had things that is not lawful for a man to utter. You know what I mean? It's not lawful. You know that if, according to the law of Moses, you know if, not if, when Paul was taken on that trip, okay, to heaven, you know if he saw Adam, you know it's not lawful to say it. How can you tell him you saw Adam? You say, okay. You saw it, okay. You saw him before now. Let us make sure you permanently be seeing him. You saw. Because your mind can't comprehend that the mercy of God can be that great. But it is. The mercy of God is that great. But God, who is rich in mercy? All the Bible teaches. So there were some things he couldn't say. So with all Paul said, I am convinced there are some things he still didn't say. I'm convinced. So Paul needed strength. He said, pray for me that utterance will be given to me. I may seek boldly as I ought. There's as I ought. There's a level of boldness. There's a way I ought to say things, and I require praying. That's why, as believers and as ministers, what to say requires prayer. How to say it requires prayer. What to do requires prayer. How to do it requires prayer. When to do it requires prayer. If you can get what I just said now, it will help you. You can't run out of prayer points with that one. What to do and what to say requires prayer. When to do and when to say requires prayer. How to do and what? How to say requires prayer. Think about it. Pray for me that all trust may be given unto me. I may speak boldly, when as I ought to speak. It's important. So he said, I said, Lord, give me every soul. He said, he heard the sound of a wind rush to the old place. Every single unsaved man was saved instantly. Instantly. You know when the Bible says that God is not willing that any perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Do you know that God willing is more than a wish? He backed it up with the death of his son. So the implication is this: at the slightest excuse, God will save men. At the slightest excuse, he will save men. Hence, Wigglesworth was grappling one thing. When we call, when we do what I call, we trust God for God to convict people. And then some will come, some will not come. But the same one who helps not saying, ask for everything. Ask for all. So, let me put it this way. The limitation behind what we can experience in this series of Holy Ghost meetings is based on how much you can see and ask. That's why it says praying always with all prayer supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto. That means you're being alert. So when we are praying, and we're praying with the consciousness of there's a tremendous release of God's ability. And I keep praying that the glory of God will be in strong manifestation. The power of God will be in strong demonstration. And there is no manifestation of the spirit that we don't experience. None, because it all belongs to the body. And there is no man that comes and is not blessed. There is no life that's not touched and changed. There is no one who is not healed. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is tonight. So we are praying. There's such a condensation of God's power that people cannot even resist. Such a condensation of God's power that people cannot even resist. You know, God's power must have been tremendously behind the teaching or the preaching of Paul. For Paul to, for King Agrippa to say, thou almost persuadest me. That means something was happening in that man's heart as Paul was speaking. His heart was burning. That almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Ah, isn't this man is dangerous?
How many words did you speak now? And I'm saying, ah, let him go, let him go. Be going, be going, be going. Hey, that's tremendous power.
One day, studying the scriptures, I saw 1 Corinthians 2:4 in a different way I'd never seen before. And that's why the greatest mistake you can make when the word of God is being taught or preached is to say, I've heard it before. You have not heard it though. You've heard in part. As I opened it, I saw from verse 1 to 4. That's why I can quote that verse anytime, because it didn't just enter my. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony. That line, the testimony of God, just stood up. Bam. I went to go and check the meaning. You know, you check Greek and Hebrew. You start studying and say, the testimony of God, God's personal testimony. It's like God is tying a culture and saying that this is my testimony. And he has already sworn, I swear, to tell nothing but the truth. The truth, and only the truth. So help me, myself. You know. And I said, and I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and him one crucified. And my speech and my preaching were not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In other words, Paul was saying, it is impossible for a man to preach or teach God's testimony. It is God's testimony. You can't say without him. You cannot teach or preach it without being interrupted with signs, except you don't know what testimony, except you have fabricated your own. It's the gospel. It is full of signs and wonders. His birth was a miracle. His life was a miracle. His death was a miracle. His resurrection was a greater miracle. You cannot begin to speak of him. I'm trying to contain myself. Oh, glory to God. You cannot speak of it and that won't be release of power. It's not possible. It's not possible. Me and Pastor T went for a meeting and he was teaching. As I've been teaching well, just doing well. As I was quoting that scripture, I said, oh God. Pastor, I said with that scripture again. Okay, Pastor, Lord, don't let me speak in tongues. Of course, I spoke in tongues. And that was the end of the teaching part of the meeting. Demonstration was what was left. Why? I know. If I read that verse, I just become drunk. Is the testimony of God, not the testimony of men. It contains his power in expression. So when Paul was preaching it, there was something he had done before he opened his mouth. You know, there's some things you see, your heart is enlarged on the inside. You know, in fact, the more you see, the more you are driven to prayer. Prayer naturally flows from you because of the height and the depth of what you are seeing. You even pray more. Hallelujah. So, Bible says, praying always without prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Now, that means as you're watching, as you're alert, you see. And when you see, what does your seeing produce? More praying. You see scenarios enacted in the spirit. You see connections. You see how things are happening in the meeting that is yet to physically take place. What happens? You pray more. Because you now see, this is the will of God. This is the plan of God. That you're shown is not when to stop praying. Luke 22. Let me show you something. Luke 22. That's interesting. I'm not opening any other Bible at that time, right? This prayer series is different. And glory be to God. Luke 22. I'm going to read from verse 41. Luke 22, verse 41. Are you there? Oh, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to see something. And was withdrawn from them about the stones cast, and dropped, kneeled down, and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, doing what? Doing what? Strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Did you see that? Now, Jesus' prayer summoned the activity of angels. We are no safran yalash takolat yastase. ne sousa frakoutie, e ad kongeliata kishte, jejuropatia, esosokratia la castia, and with more light and revelation and understanding of sonship and the Father's place in the hearts of his sons will come a boldness in prayer and more visible, tangible manifestations of the ministering spirits. And the ministering spirits, eager to walk, eager to minister to years of salvation, will be more profusely at work in the lives of every saint. For both young and old will see, both young and old will experience, and the Lord Jesus will be glorified in the midst of his own. For it is written, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? And so send forth, you receive those who are sent forth. As you pray out, my will, my counsel, then you see that the angels are summoned by the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Hallelujah. Now, notice that the prayer of Jesus summoned that angel. Then notice something interesting. After the angel strengthened him, Jesus didn't say the answer has come and stop. Listen carefully. The angel is without. The spirit is within. So Jesus saw the angel. The angel strengthened him physically. And then Jesus, following his internal environment, being in more agony, he was still pressed by the spirit, prayed even more after. Did you see that? Did you see that? In other words, many of us will just say that, rejoice. The answer has come. Let me not go to bed and sleep. No, he prayed more. He was trending to pray more. He just continued praying. I know we don't have time to go into that today, but if you realize the prayer of Jesus is serious, because this is one of the reasons why we say that we pray to be able to stand in God's will, to be able to do God's will. Because Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed for 3 hours. And he had already told them, the Son of Man will be taken by sinners and be killed. On the third day will rise. That was what he was born to do. But his flesh struggled with the reality of it in the garden. So he prayed and was strengthened. So that you know what to do doesn't mean you will do it. It is prayer that strengthens you to do it. Notice Jesus was without sin. So this is me. It's not sin that makes you struggle. It's just flesh. It's like temptation saying the devil. It's not devil. It is, there are some things that are common to man. It's common to man. If you're a man, it's common to you. So Jesus without sin is showing you that some things you are calling Satan is not Satan. It is what? Flesh. The spirit is meaning, but the flesh is weak. Why was he praying that prayer? He had the right to say, I'm not going that way. I didn't sin. What is it? Why? Was that what he was born to do? Yes. I did tell disciples many times. I told them. Even after I told them, when he got to the point of execution, he still prayed. I explain why it's not everything that we know to do that we do. It's because we don't back it up by praying. It's like you hearing God's word. Why are some always hearing and hearing and never coming to know the truth? You don't pray over what you have heard. You don't pray over what you have heard. And I know where some of us are at spiritually. This is how I know from your post and the prayer point you are using. He has to come and lead prayer. Oh God of my father, which father? We know that you have not imbibed the truth. You are always hearing, but you have never prayed for light to break forth in what you are hearing. So you are not walking in the reality of what you are hearing. And as a pastor, I'm tempted. I was still talking to Pastor Jimmy, my wife. I said, I'm going to interview one or two people and pray for them, advise them that please go to another church. I prefer you go to another church where you'll be blessed. You can't be blessed here because you have refused to. You have been here for almost 8 years. You have refused to practice anything we are teaching. I think 8 years is long enough. Go. Can the pastor do that? Yes. There's no point affecting others and slowing them down. I mean, you're still posting nonsense after what you have been taught. You are still picking posts that say, you know, the end is come. That you are still posting that now. All believers, be aware, beware, beware, beware. The post you are still posting posts that's like, you know, it's like, you know,
only few believers will make it. A believer making it. What is he making? It shows that me. That means you're feeding from other sources. And those sources are confusing the truth you are hearing. So there's a warfare in your soul. What do we tell you to do? Go to that other place. Be somewhere. There will be less warfare. Don't try to be in both. That's the problem. What should a good pastor do? Interview you and release you. You have to make a choice. There's no point. See, you don't come to church for social gatherings. Now all the people I know are here. No, we don't. Okay, we know you. Just go. Hey, stop slowing us down. There's no point. Because the truths we're teaching may be too high for you. Not because they're too high, because you have refused to accept or embrace them. Then go to where you'll be comfortable. That's what you should do. You don't play with your life when it comes to light of truth. This is what I am called to do. And I'm not going to water it down. I won't. I have a responsibility. And the one who calls me will ask me. So I can't water it down for you. So you can go to where it's, you can handle it. But doctrinal truths are so important. You cannot, listen carefully, express the spirit beyond what you are taught. You can't. If what you are still believing now is that when you come to church, you have come to God's presence, you cannot rise beyond 11. That's what you are still thinking and saying to you now. Even if you still, if you just came to church this year, we can help you. But you've been here for 5 years and you are still thinking when we come to church, you come to God's presence, you are beyond our help. Are you feeling? You need to go elsewhere where that's what they believe. That means true. We'll be singing songs of who we are. You will not shake. When we now sing local songs, that's when you start dancing. You have a problem. You have a problem because it means you are a sense rule believer. That's the problem. It means only melody moves you. The words of the song, they don't move you at all. That means this is not your place. The other churches that will condone such, go there. It's better than you post something and we're like, you are a person, you're like, you are ashamed to claim it as one of your own. If it is a visitor in our joy, he only comes. He only comes once in a while. That's why he's posting this one. And some people don't even know the God. It's motivation that they're calling us. Motivation. Good sounding moral conduct. Behavioral modification. Not righteousness. So. Behavioral modification. And they preach it to both believers and unbelievers. How can you are preaching to lost people, you say, brethren. Who is brethren? They lost. You are trying to make an unbeliever grow up spiritually. But that's what people think. You think it's about, you are still struggling, thinking it's about behavior. And yet somebody who's behavior, normally before he came into Christ, he is sound. He is telling you, I came just as I am. And my behavior didn't matter. But you are still preaching behavioral conduct. You still have a problem. You are still preaching change and God will accept you. We are telling you accepted now, change. Is that not the difference? It's a difference. The first is by work, the second is by grace. That's a problem. You still don't get the message. And the reason why is because you don't pray over what you have had. So you are not walking in it. And it's affecting you. You hardly see such people at our prayer meetings. You hardly see them. Because they don't understand what we're doing for 4 hours praying in tongues. When there's 24 prayer points to pray. And they don't reason, they are just praying, you put on all the other. Let us pray our mind, let's pray our mind. Let us tell God how we really feel. They are all pretending. How do you really feel? I only feel what the word says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, why am I saying all that? I'm just trying to let you see that the place of prayer is far more important than we think. That we pray believers to be established in the truth. That tells you that the establishment in the truth doesn't come by itself. It takes prayer. That's what I mean. It takes prayer. Hallelujah. It's a prayer. But we can make God's power so mightily manifest on Sunday that in a manner of speaking, no one is able to escape the flow. You know, I couldn't finish my message on Sunday. I wasn't with my full message. That was a fraction. It wasn't, I was interrupted. I tried to continue second time again. You people. You people, stop the message. Let us see how Sunday will be. Why? Because the power of God was so mighty, the world manifest. And that's how a Holy Ghost is supposed to be. In fact, the minister says enough to get the people going, so to speak. His spirit is just waiting for that. You say, okay, say one more. Let us see. Say one more, say one more. Okay, and then there's an outbreak of God's power. That is a Holy Ghost meeting. That's how it's supposed to be. And the beautiful thing about our meetings, if you notice over the years, that not one single meeting is level like the other. I mean, who's that? No, never thanks. Not one single meeting. So, can we pray out instructions, directions, healings, manifestations, people being blessed? Can we pray those things out? Yes. Even pray out the message, pray out those that will minister. Hallelujah. And that's why, you know, also in prayer, what's my own prayer? What do I focus on more as a pastor in prayer? Sincerely, God is my witness. I focus more that the eyes of my understanding should be enlightened. That's what I focus more. And that's the problem sometimes when it comes to people standing to minister. This is coming. Even though in the Holy Ghost we allow people to minister, but please, if you are not one of the ministers that are officially appointed or recognized, always ask permission from the pastor before you minister to anyone. Because the challenge is that a lot of times your mind is not renewed enough to know when you are acting by the Spirit or you are acting by another source. Okay? When you are ministering, don't go and drag people. Don't go and force people to do anything. Don't do that in a Holy Ghost meeting. It's wrong. And some of those is happening because of the nature of the meeting. At that point in the meeting, I can't correct those individuals who are doing things like that. Don't go and drag people. Don't go and force people. There's some things you want to say, you feel led to instruct or to say that you are wrong. You don't have enough maturity yet to know how to minister a message. That you have the leading doesn't mean you have a right to minister it. We have pastors. When you go to them, I sense this, what should I do? Listen to what they say. If they tell you, go ahead, go ahead. If they tell you, sit down, sit down. I started ministering under my pastor, sitting down, not being allowed to minister at all. What was I doing? Learning. What am I doing? The power of God will be strong upon me. And he will know. Until there was such a time, he will not call me, come, go and minister to that person. Don't take initiative by yourself. You can have a good heart and do the wrong things. The good heart is good, commendable for you. But the wrong thing will affect the person you're ministering to. Do you understand? Yes, it can. So we are all growing. Last week I can rebuke because I made fun of myself. That I also need quiet boldness. By revelation, I knew something, I didn't act on it because I required boldness. It's better to be slow than to be too fast. If you are slow, God will prod you. If you are too fast, you have already gone beyond him. So, all my life, I've rather been more slow than too fast. So, God will just say, by now you should. But if you are too fast, because you are so eager. And I'm very slow to minister correction. I know why. Because of the way people are. I told somebody in one of our meetings about 4 years ago. Say, when we have a Holy Ghost meeting and you're excited, don't start clapping. The noise distracts people. Is there a proper time to clap? Yes. What did he do? He stopped clapping altogether. That's why a pastor doesn't want to talk sometimes. He now could stop clapping completely. And it took me 2 years to tell him to stop clapping. Can you imagine that? And after 2 years, what happened? He said, stop clapping. You know, no clap at all. I don't know if he answers. It takes grace to miss a correction. I'm telling you. Oh, we people respond. 2 years before I could tell him. And then when I told him, well, you know. When he gets excited, he starts clapping. What is he doing? He's responding the way he knows how. So I now tell him that, not that the response is bad, but the clap is so loud, it distracts some other people. So I was trying to get him not to what distract. I hope you understand. But he took it the other way. So I had to come and tell him. We didn't say... we didn't say shut it down. No, it's true. We didn't say shut it down. That's what we said. Listen carefully. Get properly. Like I said, I sat down. What do you mean we didn't done as only as a minister? When he says sit down, don't do anything, what was I doing? He was teaching me certain things. I was learning. So I was watching. I learned. That's how we all learn. We all grow. So you see how we are ministering things. You can receive the right and minister wrong. You can. The times I've ministered in a place and I know one or two people and I knew them that had a particular issue. And I will call them when I'm calling everybody. Because if I single them out, they will be embarrassed. And the spirit devil never embarrasses him. So you can minister the right thing the wrong way. Because you are not yet mature enough to minister it. Hallelujah. And I mature enough to, why am I saying that? I think last year, I still got a feedback last year. Particularly last year. What did you say? Was it last year? Yeah, that makes sense. And somebody complained and a particular person was dragging her, kept dragging her. You don't know how people are dragging them. And the person is a newcomer to church. So she was disgusted. Those people suffer for who is being forced with the one who is ministering? Because the person doesn't know that's not how it's done. I'm so careful ministering the spirit that even when I'm laying hands, I don't push or press. So that you will not think it's gimmick. Because your falling doesn't do anything to me. I'm trying to minister God's power to you. How can your falling excite me? You know? Thinking about it. What am I going to feel? Person, you fell. I passed that 6 years. No. It's so that you prove that this is the power of God working. In my next time meetings, you'll be surprised that I minister to people. I've only went to the last meeting I went to. I minister to people standing on the altar. And where they were, the power of God eat them where they were. I didn't tell you from a distance. I was learned and instructed to minister that way. The power of God eat them where they were to show. It's not gimmick. It's the power of God. It can be administered close by or from a distance, depending on the way you are led or instructed. Just to avoid people saying things like, maybe they were trying to push me. No. So we grow. But how do you get some of those things? Revelation of God's word. And what? You pray yourself until boldness comes. You pray. And the boldness is part of the place of prayer. You know what to do. You also know how to minister to people properly by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm praying the Holy Ghost. What are we praying about? We're praying that the service this Sunday, there will be greater, mightier manifestations of God's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. Utterance, free flow of utterance. The Spirit is giving free course. Men and women yielded under the influence of the Spirit. Men and women receiving God's word. God's word coming strongly, mightily. Mightily without restraint. Ikalo bronanka lebrusta caste. Elejibrusta vracasto bogorata kala griste. And then Sugrupa Castafra Kula Grish the guest, Ozazafra the Munga Takala Gishte, and then Sugubra Galagras to Kula Grita Ishte, and let she bros the Caste Galegruco, Ograga Kakala Broco Stefra Agadia. Hallelujah. Want to say something with us for a minute? The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, that unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. And what? I'll think. According to what? His power. If you know that your praying is what determines how much of God's power will be in operation in these meetings, how would you pray? With what fervency will you pray? Do you realize that the salvation that took place, which was God's plan for the Gentiles in Cornelius' house, started by Cornelius' praying, was continued by Peter praying, and then the Spirit was spontaneously made manifest on that day in Cornelius' house because Cornelius prayed, and then Peter also prayed, and then what God wanted to bat and get done was done because two men prayed primarily. In other words, was it God's will that the Gentiles be saved all along? Yes, but besides His will, within His will is the role of men. Within God's will, never forget this, is a role of men. Salvation is done by God and by God through men. Hallelujah. So your role, my role, the things we will do, that's the things we just finished praying. But I want you to set your gaze on something. Is there anything impossible for a believing one? Think. Is there anything in your mind that speaks of impossibility? That God will go so far and not any further? I see, if need be, surgeries being conducted upon men where health is concerned, not just on their bodies, on their souls, by the power of God. I've seen men immersed in God's glory, and when they came on, they were different. All struggles to serve, all struggles to walk with God, everything changed, came to an end. Hallelujah. So let's pray the Spirit in such a way that none will be able to resist, none will be able to stand against, none will be reluctant, but all will be willing. Such will be the manifestation of God's glory and the manifestation of His power that every single man
will be blessed. Let's pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Father, we stretch the boundaries of our mind with your word, and we dare to ask for every man and every woman that comes into this auditorium, led by angels, guided by your spirit, that they will come from everywhere, from every direction. They will come under the influence of your spirit and the finished work of Christ. Oh, Bakala, that is at the back of the gift of the spirit, the gift of special faith, the working of miracles, the gift of healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, design of spirits, prophecy, that was kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. All this will receive into full manifestation and into full expression. The glory of God. As I give him praise tonight, and thank him, and thank him, and thank him, and thank him, and thank him. And no host brought us there. As to Bruna Kano Malasite, as to Doligan, of your goodness, we speak of your mercies. Oh, Palagrite Kiseki, your great love is in demonstration. Oh, Maligresti Kesiteki, men, behold your awesomeness, your power, and your greatness in the midst of the Silea and the Shooter. We exalt you, Father. We magnify your name. We thank you, thank you, thank you for the great and awesome things. Oh, Paligre Tike City. And I express thank you for the glorious things that I made manifest. Thank you. Our hearts are glad and we rejoice and we give praise. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. All we do by your spirit with a consciousness of what you have accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. He is our victory and our song. He is our salvation. Thank you for calibrating Jesus Christ for the mighty things that I've seen and the mighty things that I wrote. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.